Hello, this is Greg, and welcome to another edition of Listening Bits. I'm live here at the Skirball Cultural Center in Los Angeles. I'm here at the MLS Summit, an event put on by Annie Ives from themls.com. And I've got a very special guest today. Both of us are speaking at this event, and Mark Davison from 1001 has just come off the stage, and I'm excited to have your conversation with Mark. How's it going, man?
Hey, good, man.
Yeah,
how you
cool.
doing?
Yeah. Hey, so you know what I want to talk to you about is when I first met you, I remember that you had written a book, and it was about like, you know, this is all going to kind of come together.
All right.
And I think it was about like, you're an unsigned band.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you
yeah.
want to get into it. Like, was it like called like All Access?
It was called All Area Access.
Okay, oh, that was close, right?
Which is typically what you would see printed on a backstage VIP
pass. Yeah, backstage pass, yeah.
So I spent a lot of years in the music business.
Right.
Managing acts and building baby bands. So finding unsigned bands and taking them through the process of getting signed. It's one of the hardest things you could ever try to do. And it's the million and one shot. I got lucky. I got signed when I was in a young band.
How old were you when you got signed?
I was, so it was third year of college, 2021.
Wow. What was the name of the band?
We were called The Proper Id.
And what would you say? What kind of music?
We were very much a cross between, I'd say, the Talking Heads and the Clash. So it was 1980, 1981. Okay. That scene was really popular. Our lead singer, who is still kind of a well-known celebrity of sorts out in the world, was very politically charged and wrote amazing lyrics, as he still does. I wrote music to a lot of his lyrics, and we became really popular in New York City and got signed.
What an experience that had to been, huh?
It was. Anyone
what
who knows,
was the label back then?
It was Polydor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They had also signed Scorpion and one of the Van Zandt brothers. So like, we didn't really fit on the label, but we were running out of time.
Well, Talking Heads and Clash. I mean, that's got me interested already.
Yeah, we should have been on a more indie label or Elektra Records but like time was running out for us. We were all college kids. We all had parents that were like, what are you doing with your life? But we got signed. We got a nice check, which we invested into equipment. And then we went on tour and I couldn't hack the touring.
Oh, really? Just that lifestyle?
I didn't like the lifestyle. This is pre-internet, pre-cell phone. I was dating a girl at the time, and the only way to speak to her was to drop quarters in a payphone before a show. We were going on late, playing on stages where the sound wasn't right. I'm kind of a militant when it comes to getting sound right and the tone right. The song had to sound good live like it did in my head. I just couldn't do it, so I quit.
That's wild. I mean, well, I mean, there's a lot of famous bands, right? I mean, the Beatles later on didn't want to tour, right? Some people just take that out of the repertoire. Touring is not a thing.
Steely Dan didn't tour forever and ever.
Right. I think nowadays you almost have to tour to make money.
It's the only way.
Right.
You could sell records back then.
Yeah, merch and basically, you know, your touring contracts with like Live Nation or whoever you kind of signed up with.
Wow. I don't mind being like traveling under a certain circumstance was okay. But if you're the performer, you're getting up at 6 a.m. and going to radio stations, doing radio station interviews at 6 a.m. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to a record store and doing a record store show, acoustic show. And then you're showing up at the club at 6 o'clock for sound check, but not taking the stage until 12.
Right.
Like, I was young, but like that stamina, I didn't have it.
Yeah. So you quit. So you left the band, right?
And I got into management.
You got into management. So were you managing the band you were in after that?
Oh, no. They wouldn't talk to me. No, it sucked.
Yeah.
I ruined that relationship. But I went into management. I come from that family. My father was in show business, managed some big name acts. So it was in my bloodstream. I like being behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I like taking things and building them and turning them into something. And did it for many, many years. I ended up doing it in the hip hop world with, I had a partner. And the time had come for me to give it up. But the point is, I wrote a book in 96 or 97 to share like the how to make it, how to do it. If you're a young band, this is the 400 page Bible.
That's awesome.
The funny part about that is I would go to farmers markets every once in a while, and you know, especially here in California, there's always bands playing. Every once in a while, I'd see a really good band. They're doing everything right. And so I would chat with them afterwards, and they say, "Oh, well, we read this book that just told
us." Was it you?
It was me.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Sometimes I would tell them that I was the writer, and sometimes I didn't. Yeah. It just felt good just to know that it was out there doing its thing.
That's great. I mean, to me, I've been a little bit in that world, mostly on, you know, I worked for a sound and lighting company right out of college. And got to see a little bit of that. A lot of stuff that we did was mostly corporate events, right? Not really, but it's same kind of thing as rock and roll, right? I mean, you don't have a lead singer; you got the CEO speaking, and you know, panels of the microphones. There's multiple microphones; it's just not on a snare,
yeah.
And all the other things, right? But you got to. I love that backstage world of. To me, it was like a complete thing because you would plan for the show, right? You'd load all the equipment up. You'd load the truck up.
It's a rush.
You drive to the gig.
Yeah.
You'd unload, set up, work the show, tear down the show, strike the show, load it back on a truck, and then go back. And it was a complete exhausting, exhilarating.
I'm getting tired just listening.
It was like this whole thing that you got to build something, take it down.
Yeah.
There was this event that happened. There was that kind of like nervousness energy of like when things get started and everything else. I kind of love that period. Looking back, it was a lot of work, but I kind of love that kind of period because you're also like getting physical, you know, laying cable, climbing up ladders, loading trucks
up. It's a lot of fun.
It's all
as
all
a
together.
Day thing. Yeah. Like to do it for a day.
Yeah.
A few years ago, because I still have a lot of contacts in the record industry. And I got asked to fill in for an act that was playing a bunch of shows at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. Could I learn the record and do all the guitar parts? So I'm good at that. I can learn music. I can sub in and fill in. And I took a little hiatus from 1000 Watt and did 2 weeks, played in Nashville, and then went to Austin. And that first show in Austin where I'm lugging my amp up a flight of stairs.
There's no roadie.
Yeah. There's no roadie.
Yeah.
And there's a million other bands playing. There's no glory.
Yeah. You're not the rock and roll star, right?
It's back. And the funny thing is that girlfriend that I was dating back when I was in a band is now my wife.
Oh, wow.
And the same miss that I had for her when I was touring was like, what am I doing here at South by Southwest? I just want to be home.
Yeah, that's funny.
But you know what I do now? For companies is no different than what I did for bands.
Well, let's get into that because I've had some experience. Like this is my third company and Dan and I have been together on all three basically.
It's pretty impressive.
But to me, our first iteration was four of us, right? There was myself, Dan, Eddie, and Maggie, right? And I always had this analogy and I think, with you have a company now and you look at these companies, it's a band.
It totally is.
Right. And you get to know more about each other than you ever want to know. And there's a bond there. I mean, there's a bond with Dan and I or Dan, me and Eddie or and me and Maggie that because we built something together and we had to like fight through it. And one of the things I have, I'm probably most proud of is that I was able to even like our company being sold and, going through a lot of freaking, dot bomb kind of stuff is that we all are still friends and to keep those friendships and keep those relationships together. And I know it doesn't happen with a lot of bands, right? You hear these bands that break up it's exactly that. You're in this, it may not be, you're in a booth together, you're traveling together, you're building something. In this case, it's software, maybe not an album record, but everybody's fighting for what they believe in. Like, no, it shouldn't do this. It shouldn't do that. There's a lot of analogies there that I see. So whenever I meet young vendors and first of all, I don't know how people do it themselves. Didn't have Dan or Eddie or Maggie to begin with, it would never happen, right? To have, and now especially to have this collaborator with Dan, the past three companies I've had, it's been a great learning experience for us. It's just to have that person in your life that's like, they're there with you. I just can't imagine. That's what I think about you guys at 1000 Watt and some other these companies I meet is like, what kind of hits are these bands going to make, right?
I usually use some metaphors, specifically when we're hiring. I'll be like, we need a sax player. We need a percussionist.
Right.
I think in those terms, my greatest regret was leaving my band and never sewing that up.
Yeah.
But I did that 6 months ago, the magic of social media. But I rediscovered my singer, who is now living in Scotland, who was basically the founder of the anti-folk movement, which is a pretty big, small movement around the world. He's still writing. He's still touring. He's still performing.
Wow.
And through him, I connected with our drummer. The other guitar player is...
So it sounds like you went through some 12-step program where you call them and like...
No, we haven't spoken.
Right.
But it was gentle, but I did compose a piece of music and I sent him a file in hopes that... And it's funny because I sat down in front of my little studio and picked up my guitar, and what came out of me was a song that I would have written for that band back then. It had that vibe. And let's see if he can put lyrics together. So that would be cool.
Yeah.
But absolutely, man. I consider Brian, who I started Thousand Watt with, but I was with him at Inman and I was with him at my software company. So three iterations of somebody who I almost feel like I need to call him and just run even personal things by him.
Yeah.
Just to get, as I so trust his take on things. And with Joel and Jessica as partners in Thousand Watt, it's a band. Yeah. The four of us sit together is a magic for me.
Yeah, I think seeing the life events that Dan goes through, getting married, having kids, and then you kind of match each other's like, you know, and you're always kind of looking at that other person that's in your life like that, and you can kind of learn something or ask them, and they know you better than anybody, right?
Better than anybody.
And
better than you know yourself.
Yeah,
sometime.
No, totally, right? And then also getting like a gut check, like there'll be some posts that I want to write. If I'm really, really like not certain, like, okay, is this really funny or is it too mean? Dan's a great person. Like, he'll tell me straight up.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't give
but
a shit.
But do you listen?
No, I listen. No, I totally listen. I mean, yeah. I trust his judgment and take on a lot of things, right? He's also one that I think is a good editor for me, like that can like, when I have all these grandiose things, he keeps me focused on
exactly
like-
Exactly the same for me.
That's their game. Not our game.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking, you're trying to play their game. That's not our, I get so freaking worked up, but I think a good partner in that case keeps you going, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
And it extends. I mean, we're small enough to where everybody who I work with at Thousand Watt occupies a place in that metaphor that is really critical. Like I can now not imagine sending work to a client without Patrick looking at it.
Right, right.
Or without Karina looking at it.
Right.
Or without North looking at it. Like, if you can find the right people and you have the right chemistry, they bring that element to the table that you don't have.
Yeah.
They become indispensable.
Yeah. I mean, I think the work you guys do, you guys are really kind of known for your taste, right? And it's hard to kind of get together a team like that can kind of like, understand that aesthetic and what's, you know, because taste is a very. Yeah, it's tough to kind of thing there.
I can't describe it.
No, it's
tough. But it is the culmination of all of us.
Yeah.
Like on many things, Brian has great taste. He has great clarity on certain things, but so does Jessica and so does Joel and really so does everybody.
Yeah.
And I think like with our blog, it is the hardest thing in the world that I do because I just can't write a blog and then maybe show it to Brian and go, hey, what do you think? It goes through, everything we write goes through editorial.
Right.
People weigh in.
Yeah.
It's a discussion.
Yeah. And yet though, I've talked about this before, is listeners, if you haven't, you know, go to 1000watt.com and sign up for their email and get these blog posts in your inbox. But whenever I read Brian's piece or I read your piece, you guys all each have your own. I can hear you talking in my head. And I think that's so, you know, Joel or Jessica, when I see the thing, I'm like, I have you guys playing in my head.
It's so critical
to have
part
a voice
is
so tough to kind of come up with, but you guys have definitely done that.
You need to have your own voice, but 1000 Watt has to have a voice too. So there are things that will come out of post because all of us. It's funny, oftentimes I will be the Brian in my role of reviewing his blog and he will be Brian.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, because otherwise I go, wow, dude, you just came out of left field and that's the most radical thing ever. Publish it. Because that's where I tend to like to come from. But he'll reel me in and then, which we need. But then I may find that I have to do the same because we all understand what the 1000 watt voice is.
Right.
That's most critical.
But it goes back to this, a number of ways of this kind of thing of a band of a group of people putting out something, you know, it's freaking, you know, McCarthy stuff at Wings were way different than the Beatles, right? It's those people together.
Way different.
I think, you know, I just saw that Freddie Mercury film.
I want to take my son to see that.
Yeah. And he said at the end, it's like, you know, I finally got to like do whatever I wanted to do in his solo career, you know, he was saying, but it wasn't right. It was, you know, I needed you guys to kind of make it great, right? And I think that has to happen. I think that's why, you know, to kind of circle back into here, I think that's why you see like real estate teams. I think it takes a lot. I think to me, if you get the right group of people together and you guys are all invested in that and you all can play your parts, sax, lead generation, whatever. I mean, it all works that way. Yeah. So, and the other thing that I think that there's a correlation between this band and music and real estate is it's such an aspirational business, right? These young bands trying to make it. It's in real estate, the same goddamn
exact thing.
So aspirational, right? It's just, you know, they can see on TV all the HGTV and Bravo kind of things. And those guys are making it, man. Yeah, they're like, you know, they're in fancy suits and they're making commissions that are saying, you know, six figures, right?
It's intoxicating.
This
industry really is. Even for these young startup brokers. The other day, I wrote that post about my friend in Arizona who, you know, I remember being on the phone with him while I was walking home from the grocery store. He called me and he's got an idea. The idea originally was way different than what it became. It started out as something almost completely different. But through conversation, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, this idea began to take shape. But it was just an idea. But then the guy went and did it. He went and got a sign and he registered the business and recruited five agents. And then he recruited five more and then five more. And then all of a sudden people are knocking at the door. I want to be part of this thing. And he just kept, he never stops is his thing. He just keeps on innovating and keeps on taking to some degree risks because he's doing things no one else has done. But it's really exciting. I don't know if it's making money. I don't know when it's going to make money. It's going to have to make money, or it has to make money for it to really thrive and become something, which I actually think it is. But he doesn't ever talk about it. He talks about the excitement. He'll always forward me an email from an agent who just randomly shares their gratitude and their excitement about being part of his company. That's what he shares with me. He built something that other people are gaining enjoyment and joy and success from. And that's exciting. I think that's like music.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize, and we talk about this a lot at WNR Studios, is like the company is a product too. Right. I mean, it's not that you can be putting out music or anything else, but the way that we organize ourselves, the way that we treat people, the way that we, you know, where we have our offices, everything, where our desks are placed, everything about that is coming from somebody. We thought about that. Right. And that's so crucial.
You guys consider the feng shui of the.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if having a, you know, a lot of kombucha around is really, you know, one of our goals here. But I mean, there's, or you know, water elements, but.
Your office is sweet, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, your office. I mean, I was just up there a few weeks ago. Yeah. Same kind of vibe, just to keep it kind of like open and creative and have people, which can have its problems also.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, when you got to talk to your doctor, you have to go outside.
I have to go outside. Yeah. Exactly. We have all this open space. It's like, where do I go to just have a conversation?
Yeah. But I mean, as you said, it's just, I thrive on that. I thrive on people getting what I always tell our people in marketing. It's like, I want them to think of us as like, we're just a group of smart, creative, talented people here in Huntington Beach, and we're making things. Right. And we're having a good time doing that. Right. And in an industry we love. Right. Instead of this, you know, big corporate thing with a big sign on it, you know, and it's just these, you know, driving for profit and driving for, you know, whatever else. Right. So it's just trying to keep that kind of vibe going. And how do we do that? Right.
You've always had this very creative marketing. If you weren't doing what you were doing, you would be doing what I'm doing.
I would love to do what you do.
But you do. You do it for WNR.
Yeah.
But what you've created that's very different than a lot of vendors is you're not known by a product. You have a product.
Yeah.
You have several products and people know what those products are. But the WNR Studios brand entity, it has a charisma about it that is shaped through a lot of the things that you've done in and around your product. That's not something every vendor has been able to manufacture. But I got to think if like somebody developed a CMA tool Others have.
Yeah.
There are other CMA
tools. The
MLS
has a CMA tool.
Yeah.
Every MLS in the country has one. Yeah.
I don't think that your CMA would have gained any more notoriety or any less notoriety than anybody else's if it weren't powered by WNR Studio.
Yeah.
The brand and the product together work together like a singer and a guitar player, to use that metaphor, to build awareness.
Well, to me, this is why, we're in the Mutual Admiration Club, of course, with Dan and I and Brian and you.
That goes back many, many
years. And the name, Studios. What are we talking about? We're talking about music. We're talking about creativeness. In my mind, that was a very conscious choice by me that I wanted to have a company, but it's a software company. And you see a lot of gaming companies, they call themselves studios, but I wanted that vibe. I wanted, to me, having a studio, a movie studio, a recording studio, anything, that was always core to me.
That's where you make things.
That's where you make things. That's where you're creative. It's not like, some dull, that we have the word, we're Realty, Software Inc., right? Or, just stuff like that. It was very conscious. Again, the company is a product as well. That had to be named in a fashion to kind of send out the vibe that we wanted to do, which was like, again, we're people making things, right? Not music in this case, not whatever, it's software.
Right? I think that if you have any teams that listen to this show, is this a show?
I don't know. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
Is that a show?
Yeah. Okay.
A pod?
It's my second ever. If you have any teams listening to this, I would highlight this part of the conversation as critical because in the same way in which you consciously named your company Studio, because the name had a job to do, and that job was to articulate something that was important to you to a world of people who you believe would find that important for them. Being a team doesn't quite describe.
Yeah. There's not that creativeness to it in a sense, right? So Studios, I think, does. There's other words that you can use.
Other words,
as well.
But like being the Robertson team.
It, right.
Like, do you guys put on a uniform and do calisthenics before you do a deal?
Like, I would say, like, if we're going to play, I love to do it because we do this a lot. Like, troop?
No.
Well, I mean, that's a kind of like I was thinking of like a mime troupe. I mean, that's no mimes. But I mean, there's the other ways of saying like this, what is it, a theater? What do they call it? Like a theater troupe or a.
Well, we call it a theater troupe or a theater group.
Group.
A group is a good word to be a group.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Every team is a team. There's billions of teams. And sort of the discussion that we had today at this, what I spoke about, which is sort of breaking paradigms and thinking outside of like Red Ocean. If you're trying to build some sort of brand around your team, but you're a team around hundreds of other teams, well, then your name is a great vehicle to help create differentiation. And if you're just a team like every other team, then your name's not doing its job.
Yeah.
So you could be a group, you could be a studio, you could be an agency, you could be anything, but not everything. Like there are some names, troop may sound a little bit too fabricated and forced.
Yeah, it's a little theaterish.
It's a little too theaterish.
Yeah.
In the same way the team is too sportsy.
Yeah.
Like it's you sell houses. You help people through serious financial stuff, right? Like, sure, I want my team, but it's not like it's a terrible word, but it may not be the best.
Right. No, I love that. I love that. I mean, I get
you're the only technology studio in all of real estate.
Right.
We're the only agency. We were 1000-watt consulting.
Right.
We lopped off consulting. And now we even have, I think, a Twitter handle or something, 1000-watt agency, where we have become an agency. That means
something. An agency sounds so – it's just a word, but – The consulting thing has just kind of stink to it in a sense, right? Right.
Yeah.
Agency does it. Agency's like, ooh,
yeah,
right?
Ooh,
I mean, it's a ad agency. They think, Mad Men. They think, other things that can kind of be.
Well, that's what we do, and that's what we are, and that's what we want. Sure, we consult. We'll provide strategic consulting, as any agency does, but we back it with other things that a consultant doesn't do.
Right.
And that's a distinction that is important. I think listeners, here's a question. Why does every real estate company have to be called Blank Realty or Blank Real Estate? I mean, just follow me on this. The answer may be because that's this way they know what we do. Well, why wouldn't they know what you do if you were just called Davison? Where would that name appear? On a yard sign, on a for sale sign, in front of somebody's house.
Right.
If it didn't have the word realty, I don't think anybody would skip a beat and wonder what I did. My name would appear next to ads for listings everywhere. Well, I'm not a coffee shop listing somebody's house. I'm real estate. But it's another one of those things that I call baggage that just everybody toes around this name that I don't know that you need it. And I can think of many different entities that don't have what they do as like, it's not, I'm going to try to think of one really quick.
Well, it's just rote. I mean, I think there's a Twitter thing going on about the dozens and millions of logos in real estate with roof lines.
Oh, yeah. Amber Taffin.
Yeah. I think. It's just like, oh, you know, you look at them all, it's like, ugh.
Really?
Right. Or yeah. Seeing like the word real or the word home and every, it has to be in every.
You can't create just, any kind of separation yeah, doing
and,
that.
And then we're going to be clever about, you know, it's like HOM and, you know, and then add something to that and like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
It's just, ugh. It's, yeah, it's awful. Yeah.
I mean, Harley Davidson is Harley Davidson. Ford is Ford.
Right.
Like it doesn't, it's not Ford cars.
Right.
I typically like to challenge these realities in real estate. And if nothing else, just go through the exercise of looking at what you could do if you liberated yourself from that thing that everybody else uses, which makes it hard to, compass is compass.
Yeah. Well, Journey, Fleetwood Mac. Right, the Beatles.
Yeah,
I mean, these are all going back to, you know, what we were talking about, taking from other things that means something. When you say the Clash, right, and I immediately know what you're or Talking Heads,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
But it has nothing. It doesn't have to say the drummer founded the band and therefore the name. I mean, it's just
you don't need that.
The vibe. You don't need it at all.
I think so. I'm just thinking when you say the words like the Clash or Journey, why do those words have so much power? Well, part of it is they're just great words. They were good names. And coming up with a good name is not easy. Whether you come up with...
But the Clash is like one of the all-time great names for that band, right?
For band. Like, yeah. It perfectly described their music. Yeah. So it's a great word. It's a great name. They had a great... all these bands have great typefaces. If you ever do a study of band typography, it's quite amazing how great the typography is for bands. You could just look at a letter and know the band.
Yeah.
But by not calling them the AC/DC band or the Beatles band.
Right. Well, Steve Miller Band works.
But where's Steve Miller these
days?
Yeah, exactly. All right, but it worked because nobody else does it.
Yeah.
Right? But when everybody's doing it, if I'm Davison versus Davison Realty, all of a sudden, when somebody hears Realty, they begin to categorize me in with all other with the narrative that they have in their head about what a realty
is. It narrows it too. Like if I'm Davison, maybe I'm more than just I sell you real estate, but I really
I'm more than
your
that.
Life.
Yeah,
you know, I help you with your assets, right? It just if you put that moniker of real estate or realty on it, it's you're basically just closing yourself off.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And it works for teams, but I challenge real estate and realty as it drops you into a category of others that. People who don't know you form a story around you based upon what they believe a real estate company is. My agent, he's got a team, but I don't even think it's called, they're just called Nick Shivers. And there's several people, Amy, Cassidy, and maybe others who I haven't met, but it's just Nick Shivers. We did a real estate transaction, and about 6 months later, I called him, and because I trusted him so much, he expressed through himself and his team skills that went beyond just buying my condo. So I said, look, I got a business idea. And he goes, oh, I've done three of those. I'm going to help you with that. So now he's involved with me in a non-real estate thing. But because he's not the Nick Shivers real estate team.
Right, right.
Like I buy it. I'm with him on it. I'm not questioning it. He didn't create narrow. He opened it up and made it wide. I think that's the brilliance of studio. As a studio, you could almost do anything if you were just a tech vendor in real estate.
Yeah.
Remember when you came up with that idea for hairdressers?
Yeah.
You could have pulled it off.
Oh, under that
WR yeah. Studio.
In fact, a lot of people on our, we have a sign up on our building downtown Huntington Beach. This is WNR Studios. And I think a lot of people think we're a hairdresser. A hairdresser. We've actually had some guy up there come up, walk up our stairs and wanted to find a job mixing.
Really?
Yeah.
Odd. Some people might think that that's not good. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
If a name can create, so I get this all the time. Where'd you come up with the name Thousand Watt?
Right.
Like, that's the greatest gift that name could give me, because then I can tell them my story.
Absolutely.
And once I tell them the story, I then clearly identify my worldview and my belief system through that story that either resonates completely or completely doesn't.
Right.
And then
I always love, like, almost like in movies too, like the short names, but gives it like, I'm with the Syndicate.
The Syndicate,
right?
Yeah.
Or he's with Spectre, right? Or he's an agent of chaos, right? I mean, like, you know, with a K, right?
Yeah. And just those like Vandalay Industries.
Yeah, yeah. Where they have these like, I mean, they're cool, you know, yeah, yeah. One word or, you know, or the Syndicate, right? But just say so much about like what each one of those names give you. I mean, Spectre.
I know.
Like James Bond, right?
Yeah. It could be anything.
It could be Vandalay. Anything, but they also like the Clash totally get that name is totally what you'd expect. When your name is the Clash, that music that they're playing.
It couldn't have been anything else.
It couldn't be anything else. It could not be anything else.
Well, they say like, what comes first? The name of the music. I don't know. Like, think about the Police. What a horrible name, really, to name a band, the Police. But what a great name. Now,
what a great name.
Could they have sounded anything other than what the way they sound?
Well, you know, and if you think about, I mean, I'm a huge Police fan, right?
So me too.
Knowing back in the day, Stuart Copeland's, his dad was a CIA agent. And he was just making kind of fun of that. But then they were like these three accomplished musicians, right? Who were faking being a punk band.
Yeah, faking.
Right? And the way, what is more punk than calling yourself
the Police?
The Police.
Yeah.
Right? So it just, it all kind of comes into, it served a
it
purpose
worked.
For them.
It totally, yeah. Well, it served a purpose.
Yeah.
I think a lot of folks don't really understand the job of names, of logos, of messaging, of colors. The words I use, they all have a job to do. And if they're not in sync, then they're not working together. Like if you and your partners are not in sync, if me and my partners are not in sync, the company can't grow. It can't fulfill the obligations that we have. But your assets need to be in sync. The messaging, the naming, like it needs to be in sync. And it's not easy to do. I don't know that I did for a band, write a book on how to make it. I don't know that I can write a book on how to do what this is.
Yeah.
It's instinct. I don't know that I can articulate
the instinct. Dan always makes fun of me because when we're coming up with a new product idea or something else, I'm always focused on the name and the logo. He's like, and he has to build the damn thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, what? You know, why do you always get caught up in this? Because to me, it's like
so important.
It's so important, right? But he just rolls his eyes at me. And now we have Damien, who's our chief design officer, and he's like next level on that stuff. And I'm always trying to impress him with
the names,
you know, with names or whatever concept or ideas you come up. Listen, I know it's already been 30 minutes, 34 minutes.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Wow, where'd the time go, man?
I told you, right? Thanks a lot, Mark, for talking to me today.
Shit,
this has been a great conversation. It
always great.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody how they can reach you? Social media or
go
otherwise.
To WNR Studios.
Yeah.
I'm just Mark at 1000watt.net. And the website is 1000watt.net, which, by the way, not for much longer.
Oh, really?
Is that
a tease?
That's a tease.
Okay.
Well, we've been going through a pretty important rebrand.
Oh, wow. Okay. So offline, you're going to tell me.
Well, listen, man, like you got to follow your own medicine. If you know, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And time had come.
Ooh, so you're killing a sacred cow, huh?
We're not going to kill the sacred cow. We're taking the sacred cow in to Brooks Brothers for a new suit and tie.
All right. Well,
I did that for you, Brian.
Yeah, yeah. All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for
listening. If you can, please go to iTunes and give it 4-star ratings and write a nice review. Really great conversation, Mark.
Yeah,
this has
back
been fantastic.
At you. Back at you.
And thanks again for another episode of Listening Bits.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.